Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope this is here for me, not left from last week. Is it? I think. Yeah. I do pray, actually, that God will take my humble words and he will speak to us. We will hear what he says. We will see what he says. And then we will take that and we will proclaim what he says. There's something about speaking that often breaks something, and it often declares something, particularly when it's something we can't see yet, but we can hear what he's saying about. So my prayer is that all of those three will be active. Now, last week we looked at our mission and vision statements, and one of our strategy steps for 2014 being discipleship, which Eric covered. Now, this morning we're going to briefly look at our two other steps for 2014. Lowering our average age and new facility. Now, I want to say, in preparing this week, the step entitled Lowering Our Average Age was troubling me. And I didn't know why, because we've had it last year and we've had it this year. But I was increasingly struggling with that title because I didn't feel it conveyed, it was misconveying what we were trying to get across, because it seemed I used that title and then spent the rest of the time trying to explain that title. So a friend yesterday phoned me and confirmed what I'd been feeling. So I'll come back to that in a while and keep you all in suspense. You'll think at the end, what was all that about then, Richard? But I said we're going to briefly look at these steps because what is of utmost importance to our Father in heaven in 2014 is our personal relationship and walk with him. The steps will outwork that, but it's our relationship and our walk with him. Because a deepening relationship with our Heavenly Father and the outworking of that relationship is how we will fulfill the mission and vision that we believe he's given us as a church. So therefore, either side of the steps, I'm going to focus on the elements that will help us to take steps in fulfilling that mission and vision upon us, to advance his kingdom, because that's why we're here. We're here to worship him, but we're here to advance his kingdom. So I guess at the beginning of 2014, many of us look back at the last year we've just come through. And I do that sometimes. I think it's good to look back to see what God has done, to thank him for his blessing and his favour and his provision. But while I was looking back in the context of Rugeley Community Church, if I'm being honest, I felt for me, our journey almost had a feeling of being becalmed in 2013. I felt like we were in an ocean that was like a lily pond. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying, because God works out his plans and purposes in his timing. But there are things that we talked about last January that we're still talking about this January. And I think, where did that year go? Now, some of that was down to circumstances, and that's life. You know, we can all relate to that. But it did leave me with a personal sense of feeling dissatisfied. Ooh. Now, actually, feeling dissatisfied isn't a bad attitude to have. Well, what do I mean by this? Well, as Christians, we are continuously in need of taking self-inventory of ourselves. Paul says this in Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, in order to have a winning Christian mentality and attitude, a person must first be dissatisfied in his or her own life. A person must be first dissatisfied with the status quo. I thought I was going to get some comments in, but I didn't, so that's all. Sorry, that's a bit in-house, if you want to hear, but anyway. Be willing to have a change of heart. You see, unfortunately, many Christians today have become satisfied in their walk with their Heavenly Father. They no longer move forward with Christ, but are just content to sit and soak up like a sponge on a chair. And I came across this little commentary, which I thought very helpful. It said, late one night, a mother and father were awakened by a loud noise from their son's bedroom. Rushing into their son's room, they found their son had fallen out of his bed. Comforted by his parents, the little boy said, I guess I fell asleep too close to where I got in. But actually, there's a warning to us in this commentary in regards to the spirituality of many Christians today. You see, they fall asleep too close to the place that they entered into relationship with their Heavenly Father. They don't move on from where he's brought them into. And when we looked at those verses in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, you know, he'd lost his old life of sin and he gained his new life with Christ. You know, he was dissatisfied with his old self, but he became very satisfied with his salvation. Paul was always aware of the need to go deeper in his walk with the Lord. And he never permitted himself to be content with his spiritual achievements. Paul's salvation was not just an experience of the moment. I'm sure we can all remember the day when we gave our lives to the Lord. But our Christianity, our walk, is for a lifetime. It is for an eternity. And it is a full life that is dependent upon him. So as Christians, we must learn that our standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must never be satisfied until we become like him. And you know what? We will never fully become like him on this earth. But that's part of that ongoing relationship with him. Now then, I also thought about last year. So that's two thoughts I've had now, isn't it? I know. I thought we did a lot of talking last year. BT says it's good to talk. And it is. But I had this picture of a caterpillar. And it was munching away on leaves. And it was munching and it was munching and it was munching and it was munching. And I thought, there, that was sort of like it. Not quite. I don't think it was three leaves. I think it was only two. But it was munching. But you know, for a caterpillar, and that munching, actually, I felt was like our talking. We talked and we talked and we talked about things. We talked about doing things. We talked about this and we munched and we talked and we munched. But you know, for a caterpillar, there has to come a time when it transcends, when it's transitioned into a butterfly. Otherwise, it would just feed and feed and feed and become very overweight and lazy. And it would end up dormant if it stayed as a caterpillar. And there's one thing that we as followers of Christ are not to be, is spiritually dormant. So I believe that 2014 is a year of transition. When actually some of our talk has got to become actions. In 1 John 3:18 it says this, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. A year of pressing forward into action. Yeah, it's good to talk, but actually, that talk needs to become action as well. Graham Cook, who's some of you will know, is a prophetic guy. He's an excellent book if you want to know about the prophetic and unsure about how to move forward in prophetic. He's a brilliant book he's done on that. He says this, and some of you will know this saying. He says, God's provision comes through the step you take, not the place you stand. See, we can't be moving forward with God if we're standing in the place we're always standing in. We need to step out into what God has for us. We need to step out in our talk and put our talk into actions. And then secondly, around this whole aspect of transition, I was given a word last September in regards to changing the guards at Buckingham Palace. And they said this to me. They said, soldiers do periods as guards, then they change. You might say they do it for a season. Then they do other duties which are no less important, if not so obvious. The change is determined by the monarch, the authorities, not the public opinion. The change is something natural. And I found that word very helpful because I think, and I believe, it helps us with transition in 2014. Now, Eric and Philippa, as you know, at the end of February, are taking a sabbatical. They're taking a step back to rest and to see what God is saying to them about their next season. But you know, that should be a challenge and a reminder to us all that we should stay open to God's prompting and leading regarding our roles. Even roles that we may have been doing for a number of years. You know, at the end of the day, the roles that we do within His church are His roles because it's His church. And sometimes within season, He withdraws us into other duties that are no less important. You know, when a guard at Buckingham Palace comes off of being duty at the front, he's no less a soldier, he's no less a person than when he stands at the front. And transition is important. Transition keeps us moving forward on the journey that we believe God has called us to. So we shouldn't see transition as negative. We shouldn't see change as negative. We shouldn't see it as being vulnerable. Because in God's plans and purposes, transition has been happening ever since we've been on this earth. Take someone like Moses. In Deuteronomy 31, it says this, so Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. Try buying a card with that age on. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispose them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken, and the Lord will do them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. I keep on saying contagious. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. You know, as the book of Deuteronomy draws to a close, the time has come for Moses to hand over his leadership. And I guess when you've done 120 years, you can look back and think, well, I think I've done my bit. But God's newly appointed leader was going to be Joshua. And I guess, you know, if I was an Israelite, I would have had Moses as my leader all of my life. And I would have possibly been feeling especially vulnerable, knowing that the conquest of this land that we were going into was coming under new leadership. Perhaps there's a personal, or perhaps there's a church role that's coming into a time of transition for you. Perhaps you're personally beginning to sense you're feeling the changing of the guard. And maybe that's making you feel a bit vulnerable. You know, we like to know, don't we? We like to know. But whether it's a church or whether it's a personal transition, we need to remember it is the Lord that goes before us. He will be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So do not fear and do not be dismayed. In an ever-changing world and on the journey God is taking us, we take heart that we always have the hope and support of an unchanging God. So just as God calls people back, so he calls people to step forward. God may well tell you to step forward this year. And I find that when God asks me to step forward, Rick Warren has given me, personally, a very good quote, but I'm sure it's for us all. He says this, if God only used perfect people, nothing would get done. God will use anybody if you're available. If you're available. So I encourage you, be available. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for hearts that are available to him. So let's briefly look at our first step. We've got the title of lowering our average age. I now feel this doesn't convey what we're trying to get across. And I thought very long and hard about this yesterday. And I incorporated my wife in this thinking. And probably what I'm about to say as a heading doesn't do it justice either. But that's not the point. I don't really get lost in the heading. I think we needed to change the old one because it didn't convey. This one is a bit of a mouthful, a bit longer. But it says, a church family who are attracting 20s and 30s as part of our community. See, what we're not trying to make is a 20s church, or a 30s church, or a 40s church, or a 50s church, or a 60s church, or a 70s church, or an 80s church. Do I need to go any higher? 90? Anyone? Any advance on 90? 120, yeah. We are trying, and we are called to be a family church of all ages and of all backgrounds, from every sector, because we value the youngest, from Joshua, to the oldest, whoever that might be. That's called wisdom. Okay? I've learned that one. Whatever our background, we all have a part to play. And I mean all. So that our mission is to outreach the whole of the community we live in. And the community that we are should reflect the community that we're moving in. So it is diverse in all ages. However, the reason that we say about 20s and 30s is because it's one part of our makeup of family which is lacking in that age range at this present time. It is changing. It is changing. And I feel actually it's a step that we don't need to get wound up about. But what we need to grasp from it is that we are all to play a part in this church. And see, a new facility is key to our family growth. We require a facility that will meet the requirements of all ages. Because I'm sure at different decades we require different things. And what one decade will require, another decade will require something else. And we've talked about the balance of bricks and mortar, mission and vision. And I've said this before, sometimes I felt we've almost apologised for talking bricks and mortar. You know, in fear that we'll lose focus on the mission and the vision. Well, actually, God is into bricks and mortar. God provides us with the facilities that we need to facilitate that which he's called us to. It helps facilitate the mission and the vision. The new facility. That's not it, by the way. We've got a very good builder in. It was very cheap for some reason, and we don't know why, but that's his drawing he can come on. No, it's not. It's not the drawing. We're on a journey to a new facility that will facilitate the outworking of his plans and purposes for RCC. Now, last May, as many of you will know, but some of you won't because you've come to us since then, so that's encouraging that some of you don't know. Who doesn't know about our journey on the way to the facility? Okay. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Last May, in conjunction with the Housing Association, we put in an offer for a piece of land off of Wheelhouse Road. Now, as you also know, there's been complications. Yet the door to purchase this land is still not closed. And then if you remember, last July or August, I shared that I felt God has clearly spoken to me from 2 Chronicles 20 that we were to stand firm in regards to this land. It says there, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. And you know, that's still our position today. We stand firm, we hold our position, we pray, we actively pray that the Lord will break through on our behalf until He either gives us that or he tells us that's not the way forward. But what I can update you with about the new facility is it will have a front door. No, it's that while Eric is on sabbatical, obviously Eric's going off, we needed someone who would take over the role of liaising with Provision. So Bill is going to do that. Thank you, yes. Because he not only continued the journey, he will help to take it forward. Because we always want to be in transition on the move. Now, Provision are also carrying out a feasibility study on our current site, which is here, to see what would be best to do with it. And we've got a meeting with them this coming Tuesday evening about the way forward. So I'd value your prayers for that because it affects you at the end of the day. And in regards to our current site, Mike Richards,
yeah,
has offered his services in taking the role of building supervisor. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he's going to do what I've been doing and doing everything. It means he's going to coordinate and arrange what needs doing in the building. So for him and for us, we're going to trial that for 3 months to see how that goes. But, you know, that's transition. That's moving forward. That's what we are about as a church. It's preparing for the future. And I just want to go back to the land. Because spiritually, there's always a battle for land. When you look through the Bible, land is important to God. But quite often, and more often not, there's a battle for land. So we shouldn't be surprised we're in a battle regarding Wheelhouse Road. I'm not. Because I think it teaches us faith and dependency upon the Lord. You know, acquiring, and this might come as a shock to some, acquiring Wheelhouse Road is no hardship to God. He doesn't even bat an eyelid, if he has an eyelid. He doesn't bat it. However, what is important to God is the hearts of the people who are going to take that land. That's my heart, and that's your heart. Because these are the hearts that will increasingly bring his hope and restoration to this town and region that we live in. It's us that he's calling to be a church without walls, so that the community sees the living God in action. And so, you don't need material keys to open the land. You need spiritual keys to move into that land and to move into that facility we believe he's calling us to. Because spiritual keys will unlock the work that needs to be done in our hearts. There are two keys that I felt when I was preparing this. The first is being in a relationship that goes deeper with our Heavenly Father, which cannot but lead to a second key of living a life of audacious faith. So let's just spend a little time. Being in relationship that goes deeper with our Heavenly Father. We all know that in Christ, God has given himself fully to us. He has said, as we've already looked at, he will never leave us or forsake us. We cannot earn a deeper relationship with him. He's already given us everything he has to bring to that relationship with us. And yet, I guess if we're being often, sometimes we don't feel like that, or it doesn't feel like that, does it? We often feel distant from him. We're not feeling his presence. We feel like, actually, I feel more like I'm drifting apart from him than getting closer to him. But here lies a very real truth in that statement that God has given us everything. We understand this through our belief in this fact that God has given us everything. But we start to experience that truth by confessing and walking in it. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So again, it's a call to action. We don't just sit there and say, well, God has given us everything. Actually, We've got to move towards that. We've got to confess and walk in it. So how do we become more aware of his presence, his voice and who he is? How do we build our faith? Well, here's some steps to help us cultivate our relationship with God. First, recognize that Christ is in you. God does not reside in some distant, far-off place, but rather within us. We are a holy temple of the living Lord. If you want to find him, stop thinking of him being so distant and far off, and start thinking of him being of indwelling by his Holy Spirit. Focus on Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next time you start praying, instead of looking upwards and outwards as if it's some far-off, distant place, or thinking that God is in heaven on his big golden throne, simply close your eyes, rest your hands on your chest, and acknowledge, Father, I thank you that you're not far off. You are within me, and you will never leave me nor forsake me. What's the second step that we can take? Oh, that's a bit rude. Shutting up. Probably not very good English, but that's what I'm going to put. You know, when you take all the religious elements out of prayer, prayer is just talking with God. The problem is, most of us don't talk with God in our prayers. We talk at him. We tell him what we want. We tell him what he needs to do. We tell him. If we're not being quiet and listening 50% of the time in our prayers, then we're a person that just loves the sound of our own voice in a conversation. But thankfully, God is so much more gracious than we are. And he loves to spend time with us. But don't expect your relationship to go to a beautiful, deep level if you never let him speak to you. Because he's got so much he wants to say to you. And sometimes that just takes time. I said when we were in the States, sometimes it was 2 hours before I could hear God begin to speak to me. Not because he didn't want to, but because he wanted my full attention to be upon him. Then a third step that we can take is to read the Bible. I know you've heard this said before probably. The Old Testament is Christ concealed, the New Testament is Christ revealed. It's all pointing us to Jesus and revealing God's heart for us. So if we're reading the Bible and asking God to speak to us as we go along, we are spending time with God. We're talking and listening to him. And we're reading about his heart for us. But then there's also something else you can do in deepening your relationship. It's actually spending time with those you want to be like. God has put us in one family together. There's an old adage that says, you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. When I thought about that, I thought, I spend quite a bit of time with my dog. So I was a bit, and I said, that's all right, my nose is still wet. I'm okay. I'm healthy. Now God's bigger than the whole of that statement. But you know, if you get around passionate people, it will make you more passionate. And there's a challenge in this to us, because what attitude do we convey to those around us? See, if you're a half full person, if you're a negative person, yes, you're having that effect on those around you. Let us be a people who are passionate. And you say, well, how do I find the right person? Yes. Well, start by asking yourself these questions. Who do you admire for the relationship they have with God? And who makes you want to spend more time with God? And when you know who they are, you get around them as much as possible. You listen to their stories and testimonies. You pick up on their passion and you learn what drives them. Their passion will excite you and give you vision for a deeper relationship with God. Then the second spiritual key is to live a life of audacious faith. Now, back in 2012, we did a series by a guy named Steve Furtick. Do you remember that? Sun Stands Still? It was based around Joshua 10:12-13. the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites through making the sun stand still. And we are to be a people who are constantly living a life of audacious faith. We can't do that in our own strength. That only comes out of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, because we get to know what He's like, who He's like. It's the only way that we'll take the steps to entering this land and this new facility is through audacious faith. There's no shortcut. So, I just thought I'd take some of what we learnt as headers, bullet points, to remind us of what we learned it means to live a life of audacious faith. Now, I'm going to put them up and I'm going to read through them, but don't worry, they are on the handout. So don't worry if you're trying to write them all down. The first is quite a challenging one. If the sight or vision for your life isn't intimidating to you, there's a good chance it's insulting to God. Ooh. That's a challenge. How big do we think our God is? How awesome do we feel our God and know our God is? God is perfectly willing to perform the impossible in our everyday lives if we have the audacity to ask. You know, just as we're going through this, just let Him speak to you. Say, go back to the handout and pray around them. Ask God, where do you struggle? Which point do you struggle at as we go through them? Extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. You know, He's not asking us to be the people we're not. He just asks us to trust Him as the people we are and believe that He can do immeasurably more than we can ask. Will you give God permission to ignite your ordinary? If you want to see God do something impossible in your life, you have to open your heart and mind to God's vision for your life. You have to seize it. It's all about our hearts, guys. It's all about what He wants to do and outwork in there. See, because at the end of the day, when we're in this facility, when we're in this land, when we're taking and advancing His kingdom, it's all about Him anyway. It's all about Him. It's why we're doing it for Him. You have to seize the vision. Don't waver or be put off. Stop trying to have all the answers before launching out in faith. Now, I'm sure every one of us is guilty of that. We want to know the answer, but that's not faith. Faith is trusting Him on who He says He is, but stepping out into that which we're not sure or know about. All God needs is all you've got. Again, He's not asking you to be anything other than what He's called you to be. If God is calling you to make a big difference today, He's likely to start in a small way. Don't belittle the smallest thing that you do within His kingdom, because it can lead to much bigger things. Audacity isn't the absence. That's because I've got one. Audacity isn't the absence of uncertainty and ambiguity. Audacity is believing that God's promise is bigger than my perhaps. Yeah, let that one sink in. I love this next one. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, not a floodlight. It's about that heart staying close to Him. Audacious faith does not eliminate doubt or fear. It eclipses their power one decision at a time. You know, we will make decisions that we're going to perhaps doubt, have an element of doubting, and we are going to be worried about the decision we're making. But if it believe it's of God, then God will eclipse that as we step out. Again, the provision comes in the step we take, not the place we stand. And then finally, expect the best, hope for the best, accept what God allows, and give Him the glory. And then finally, I just wanted to encourage you to keep the prophetic books that we gave out handy. Please regularly pray for them, because we believe God has spoken to us. We gave time to praying through the prophetic words that we had. And we felt the ones in this booklet were the ones that were relevant for a season such as this. Now in that, I just want to encourage you, because there's dates, there's numbers. And don't get solely fixed on dates and numbers. You're going to have to look at a man like Joseph. Joseph was a very assured young man. He knew God's design upon him. He told everyone what God had shown him in a dream. Yet, as we know, God took Joseph in the opposite direction to fulfill his purposes for him. So remember, whenever we're praying through prophetic words, there are certain dynamics that we need to remember. Firstly, no prophetic word in our day is 100% of God. There is an element of us within them. The journey to fulfill the prophetic word is just as important as the prophetic word. And the fulfillment will come in God's timing, not ours. And sometimes a date might be wrong, not because God's got it wrong or people have heard it wrong, but we're not ready to step into that. So there are many parameters that make up a prophetic word. So what I encourage us not to do while we're going through these is to box them in. What I mean by that? Don't think how we think God is going to outwork them or how we feel they will eventually look. Keep them by you and keep praying with an attitude of, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. We believe what he said prophetically to us is in his hands. But we ought to be that people of faith in action. I just want to finish with this last slide. Now, this is a sunrise. But when I looked at the title of this picture, it's called Finishing Well. I thought, that's strange. It's a funny name for a sunrise. You can see if it's sunset. But then I thought, actually, God said, no, it's the right name, because whatever God dawns or rises in 2014 for each of us personally, for us corporately as a church, we want to be a people who finish well in 2014. We want to fulfill all that he's asking of us, what he's calling us to do, both individually and corporately. And remember, if God only used perfect people, nothing would get done. God will use anybody if you're available. And that's my challenge. Are you available to whatever God might be saying to you for this coming year? So, John, can you come up? All right, it's not frightening. I want you just to play Ocean. I don't want us to sing it. I want you to play it. I want that slide left up, if that's okay. And I'd like us to stand. And then I'm going to pray. And we'll see what God wants to say to us. I wonder if we can just raise our hands, because it's just it's a physical of just being openness to God, you know, to receive whatever the Spirit might want to do with us this morning. So Holy Spirit, I thank you you're here. I thank you you've been speaking to us this morning, that you've been bringing the Father's heart. I ask now, will you just continue to speak to us? Yeah, come Holy Spirit. Because that will be different. It will be different for each one of us. But in that individuality, it will make up a corporate as the family that we are. What's in your heart? What's in your heart for 2014? What have you seen? What have you heard? What has already been spoken that's made you shape what you feel 2014 is going to be? What's your response to 2014? Are you available? Do you feel vulnerable about 2014? Is 2014 a year of taking steps of faith? Is 2014 a year of seeing God's provision coming in the step we take, not in the place we stand? Is 2014 a year for transition for some of us? Well, 2014 is a year when God is longing for that deeper relationship. Is 2014 a year when you're longing to see and enter into that deeper relationship? Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you now about your response to 2014. I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. You know, for some of you, you need to dare to believe God for what he has said to you. And what I mean by that is there's some here that God has said something specifically to and you've dismissed it because you think, that can't be, that's not me. That's not me. Well, God wants to say to you this morning, that is you. Stop looking at it from your perspective. And take a step of faith in trusting him for what he wants to say to you. Lord, I want to pray that anything that we have dismissed in thinking it's just been our thought, our wish, that seems so out of reach, Lord, I pray that whatever that is, pray that you will speak the truth of that word now, Father. Lord, I pray there will be many steps of faith this coming year in you. That we will increasingly become a church of action, not just talk. And Lord, there are those here who are vulnerable this morning. They're unsure of what 2014 is going to bring. Holy Spirit, will you bring the truth that you never leave us or forsake us? May they reach out and touch you, Father, and put their times in your hand. Father, help us not to see change as something negative or being vulnerable. But Lord, when you bring about change, it brings about purpose upon the journey you have called us. What is it you need to see this year? What is it you need to hear from him this year? What is it that you need to speak out in faith for this coming year? And trust him for it.